Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
It is the APC Podcast. Welcome to it. I'm Alex Patakis, along with Ben Foldy and Zach Rapport, coming to you from the CUNY School of Journalism here in New York City, ready to discuss a really, really frustrating loss to the Seattle Seahawks and get into the future of the Green Bay Packers as everyone is talking about what happens beyond this year. You can get at the show on Twitter at the APC Pod, and you can get at us at each of our names, at Alex Patakis, at Ben Foldy, and at Zach Rapport. You guys look really bummed out. Is this like a five-day hangover from the Seahawks loss? Or what's going on?
I am physically ill. I've lost multiple days of productivity and work to being actually sick.
Okay. Well, that's a legitimate excuse, I would say.
But yeah, that was also a dumb game.
It was.
What's his answer?
Very dumb game.
I wasn't technically sick. I have really bad allergies. So like once every fourth weekend is just kind of a lost weekend. So I was blowing my nose a lot, not really sleeping very well.
It's like technically, I don't know, I accept it.
Cool, nerd problems, yeah.
What about you? You look healthy, spry.
I don't feel it. Today was a rough one. I had a real, what I think a lot of people would just call like a weekend, but for me it's not like that. Just, I had like a two-day hangover from Friday into Sunday, and then Sunday I celebrated because it was my last shift at a place of employment that I have been trying to work up the courage to leave for a while, and I did. So then yesterday I was just...
Don't violate that non-disparagement clause.
Yeah. I was, you know, just watching Alvin Kamara and
finishing my fantasy season's hopes once and for all.
Ooh.
I still don't know that I beat you. Like, I'm still not feeling that great.
It's possible
kickers,
that I could
like,
win.
You need 20 points from a kicker, right?
It's all
right.
24.
We can't go down to fantasy
Zach
corner
hates
already.
Fantasy alley. Like, the second, it's the number one thing that he will jump on us for. Is when we started talking fantasy. We had a head-to-head matchup.
Yeah. It's relevant podcast to literally rivalry. No one but you two. Okay.
That's true.
Packers. But, frustration. Yeah. Seahawks.
Packers frustration. I guess we could get into note nugs from this four-point loss that should have been what I thought could have been a comfortable win for Green Bay on the road in a place that Mike Daniels and everyone else hates that they have to go to. In Seattle.
Mike Daniels hated it so much that he got hurt, so he wouldn't have to keep doing it.
I think he said, in a pregame interview, right, that he
referenced it on the broadcast. Is it Aaron Andrews? Yeah, because Fox does the games. He talked about, like, how much he just hates being there, and it brings back all these bad memories. And now we just get to add another one to our bank of bad memories from Packers-Seahawks. Let's just start with note nugs before we get into a broader topic, which I think is going to lead to a lot of discussion about the future of the head coaching position for this team. But Zach, what is your notable nugget if you could pick just one thing from this game?
They punted.
You keep saying that, like in text chains and everywhere. You just keep writing, they punted. Like once a day, you wake up and you tweet, like, they punted.
I'm just like, I'm befuddled by that decision because to me, and I'm talking, of course, about at the end of the game, it's four
minutes and 40-ish seconds
left.
Yeah,
it's under 5 minutes left. They have, is it one or no timeouts?
One timeout, yeah.
One timeout. And their defense has no one left. Everyone is injured. And they've had a rough go of it in the second half. And Mike McCarthy elects to punt on fourth and two from their own 35?
30-something.
Yeah, something like that. I think that I'm biting a little bit from Michael Cohen, who I heard talk about this and make a similar point. But there are other circumstances throughout a season where... Fine, you punt there, whatever. But this was a moment where you needed. I mean, they had to win this game. I mean, it's not a must win, but like as far as
it's close,
yeah. It's just like, what do you say? I don't know. What kind of message are you sending? It's just
they just never get the ball.
I'm being really
back.
Inarticulate. I was so frustrated. It seems like he comes out and says. He's playing a numbers game. McCarthy said that.
Yeah, you just lies. Gotta go with the numbers.
It's lies. Just wrong. It's just wrong.
There are no numbers that
There's
support that
no
decision.
No numbers.
Literally none.
When he realizes he is incorrect, he will say it. But it's the moments that he doesn't realize that he's wrong and he sticks with his gut and he just doubles down on it throughout the week that just drive me insane. I'm so mad. And again, like, as I've said many times on the show, I'm not on the fire McCarthy bandwagon. I'm not like, get him out of there. Although I did tweet punt him to the moon after the game, but yeah. I do have their brochure. I have the schedule.
But you don't, I mean, you don't need to, it doesn't matter if you're on it or off it. He's out.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
that's probably
like,
true.
I mean, that's like the national story coming out of Thursday night was like, Mike McCarthy's done. It was on Deadspin. It was on ESPN.
Even
it was
Ian Rappaport was reporting yesterday that Mike McCarthy is now on the hot seat, which I thought was so funny because the report, quote unquote report,
so stupid,
basically just read that there's tension between Rodgers and McCarthy, which is going to lead to his exit if they don't turn their season around.
Yeah.
That's something we knew like coming into the season.
It's nothing new. They're just, it's just, it's really just clickbait. I actually got an alert on my phone like a day ago from the CBS sports app for the APC podcast Pick'em. And yeah, I got an alert that was like, McCarthy's on the hot seat. And I clicked onto it and it was, it wasn't Rappaport. It was someone who writes for them basically recycling two or three disparate quotes that we already knew about from earlier in the year saying, oh, this means he's on the hot seat. And it's like, yeah. Well,
but there's no,
shit.
I mean,
that's
there's
nothing
just,
new.
There's no, that was his last chance. Like, that's the game that you win. They turn the season around. They make the playoffs. They look good while doing it.
Right.
You know, and I, you know, we were basically in this same point last week saying that was the end. But I mean, this is really the end.
Yeah.
This is like the, you're skipping over the afterword and slamming the cover of the book shut.
And Rob Domofsky wrote about it, basically piecing together an Aaron Rodgers quote when he talked about how they would really need that galvanizing moment to turn the season around. I think the most frustrating thing about that decision is that like, the lack of awareness in McCarthy to not realize like that is the moment. Like that is the chance at that galvanizing moment to go ahead, convert a fourth down, go down the field, let your quarterback win the game, and also save your job. Like he's on a 1-year deal. It's not a secret that his job is on the line.
Yeah.
To coach with fear when you have Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback is inexcusable. So I'm just going to kind of keep it there because my notable nugget from that game, I was going to say, it's impossible to have a decision that you could be more frustrated with than that one. But there is another one in that game that kind of pissed me off. And that was on the second series of the game. So, you know, you get spotted 7 points essentially by your defense forcing a fumble on the first play of the game, I think it was, when Chris Carson fumbles, Tremont Williams is like scraping on the ground to recover it. And then you make it look easy, as you should. You're gifted with great field position. Wow. It feels nice to get Aaron Rodgers a nice lead early on and then get your offense the football back immediately after that. But up 7-0, when Rodgers is clearly like juiced for this game, feels like he's getting in a rhythm, they decide to kick a field goal that Mason Crosby would go on to miss. Now, it's easy to say, oh, it was a dumb decision when the field goal is missed. But I also thought it was a dumb decision when they didn't decide that. It, to me, it seemed so obvious to go for it. Like, you're on the road. You're in a place that haunts you. Literally, your players talk about it. Like, go punch them in the fucking mouth and let Aaron Rodgers do his thing and take a 14-0 lead. It's so dumb to me to even put Mason Crosby in that scenario. It's fourth and short, and it just happens to be on the area in the field where, like, any coach with some, like, guts generally chooses to go for it.
At least since 2018.
Especially.
Coaching trends aside, it's just like, to your point, Alex, read the room. Like, you got to know what you're, like what's going to help your team, your players.
Yeah, it's basically a playoff game. And it has that atmosphere, and you have all the momentum. And yeah, it's slowed by not converting on third down. But I think going for it there just seemed like an obvious thing. And it's funny because I'm sure somebody will combat us with, well, actually, if you look at the, you know, the numbers, and the percentage of times that Mike McCarthy will go for it on fourth down, I'm sure he's up there. He's not someone who's always been scared to do it. I just think the times that he chooses not to are like the most befuddling times where it seems so obvious. And then he picks other random times to go for it that don't seem to make as much sense.
This isn't my note nug, but I feel like it's a related concept. Is I'm surprised neither of you brought up the wasted timeout in the earlier part of the second half.
Oh, God, yeah.
And I mean, yeah, that's obnoxious.
Because that ultimately prevented McCarthy from challenging a play that probably would have had a significant impact on the outcome of that game.
Can I, just to play devil's advocate to the timeout narrative, and I do agree with you, I watched actually a lot of football this Sunday. Plenty of teams burn timeouts in stupid
ways. Noonan did an article about it where he showed that the Rams are actually pretty big at burning timeouts, but he, you know, more often than not, if you're wasting timeouts, you're a bad team.
Yeah.
And there's almost no circumstance, especially early on in the second half, where it's ill-advised to take the five-yard first down penalty instead of the timeout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's not my notable nugget. My notable nugget is actually, so as I rewatched the game today, granted in a somewhat brief clicking through the plays manner, Packers were really bad on third and short all game. There were multiple sacks and multiple, I mean, it was also like all of Rodgers' kind of highlight bad plays, like the horribly missed pass to Scantling and the, you know, not missing Aaron Jones in the flat for an easy first down.
Yeah.
All of that was on third and short. And so if I'm Mike McCarthy and I see how bad they're playing on third and short, I do maybe take that second hesitation. I still think it was like the worst decision that he could have made. And I texted you all in the moment being like, that's dumb. Like this game is over and there was no reason to do that. But I will say that going back, looking at it again, I had forgotten how poorly the Packers played on third down.
Yeah, and I had texted you guys a little bit today as I was rewatching the condensed version. There was like maybe three offensive series in a row in the second half, third down plays, some long, some short, but it was just like the team just melted down in those moments.
And some of those were on Aaron, right? Like the missing Aaron Jones in the flat was like pretty bad.
But there were other plays too where it was like an interesting formation in the, it was a crowded backfield and it just never developed into anything and it just collapsed.
Slow developing plays on third and short.
Yeah.
It's like has been a recurring bugaboo this season.
Or the offensive line just lost the battle at the snap. They just got blown up and there were just a few of those.
They just, anyway, but that's my notable nugget is that they were really bad on third and short. But, I mean, I guess that brings in, you know, third and short also kind of encapsulated all of the various ways you could blame that loss. Like, is it Aaron Rodgers' fault? Is it Mike McCarthy's fault? Is it, you know, the personnel's fault? So.
Yes.
You looked ready to pick up the ball. Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
I was clearly unprepared.
Yeah, take the handoff,
son. I'm going to burn my time out here.
Oh, okay.
And just think about it a
third
little
bit. Third and second
longer.
On the podcast.
The APC pod on Twitter, we did put up a poll. Who shoulders the most blame for the Packers' 2018 struggles? Can I just say before we get to the results? I think the more and more we talk about this game and why it's so frustrating, it like perfectly encapsulates the Aaron Rodgers, Mike McCarthy, like post Super Bowl era and basically every frustration, because there was Rodgers' brilliance, like outside of scheme, like the throw to big Bob Tonyan. I can't believe we got this far into the show without you somehow working Bob Tonyan into the,
I really dropped the ball on that one.
Yeah, you really did. Which was just like a beautiful throw. There was Rodgers' brilliance. There was McCarthy errors. There was Rodgers missing the check down. There was ridiculous, almost inexcusable lack of depth on defense where you had guys that both Ben and I have literally never heard of playing safety. There was burning of timeouts. There were so many different things that have literally existed for like 8 to 10 years and driven us all crazy. And it was the fucking Seahawks.
Yep.
Like this
in
is
Seattle.
Literally like you could just use this as like the, you know, what went wrong with the Packers with McCarthy and Rodgers? Why didn't they win more? And just throw on that tape. And that's why. Anyway, sorry. I mean, that's why I think we're all so like frustrated and why we all went to like a dark place after that game.
Well, it was such a winnable game.
Yeah. And that's the other part is that you could even come out of it still thinking that they somehow are better than,
and they
than,
came out
than
hot.
The team that they played.
They caused turnovers. They scored points. Anyway.
What are the results? What do we got on Twitter? Who's everybody blaming?
All right. Who shoulders the most blame for the Packers 2018 struggles? We tweeted that out at the APC pod on Twitter. 1,400-ish votes, which is awesome. That's definitely the most responses we've ever gotten. We put out Mike McCarthy, Aaron Rodgers, Brian Gutekunst, or Ted Thompson. Mike McCarthy is leading the pack by a wide margin, 69%. Nice. Followed by Ted Thompson, actually, 20%. Say Ted Thompson, so maybe a depleted roster. Aaron Rodgers gets 10%, which to me is really high, although indicative of kind of the wasteland of
Packers. I was
going to
say that seems
Twitter.
Low considering Packers Twitter has, like, there was a huge anti-Rodgers upswing.
You know,
maybe
they
a couple
I think
days
that's
later
true.
They've chilled out.
Well,
is that
where we're going to have to start this?
Well, we're going to have to come to it eventually.
Packers Twitter, I think, has a lot more, you know, bark than its bite, I guess I will say. 1% for Brian Gutekunst, which that's. That right. sounds about right.
Yeah, I don't think he should be blamed for much of anything.
Nope.
He's clearly aware of the reasons that Ted Thompson failed them and has been doing what he can to try and change it. And he's pretty aware of what's going on with McCarthy and is probably going to make his first coaching hire.
What's funny to me is that we put this out there as a question, who shoulders the most blame? And what came back to me is like an accurate ratio of who actually shoulders
a portion of blame.
Yeah, which portion of blame. So about 70% coaching this year, 20% the cupboard was bare, Ted Thompson, Aaron Rodgers play. Maybe that's a little high, but if he's playing all world, then they're winning more games. Brian Gutekunst, 1%, marginal, could be zero. I don't know, could be two. Anyway.
Sure. I mean, I also feel that in the Thompson number is also kind of folded in this assumption that Thompson could have avoided a lot of the later era McCarthyism that we are seeing with the Green Bay Packers had he made some coaching moves earlier.
Yeah.
I will say I do get some enjoyment thinking about Ted Thompson watching Kyler Fackrell be good.
That's true.
I wonder what he's doing. Like, he feels sitting vindicated on a couch somewhere in Texas.
Ben Foldy, I want to say, do you have anything to say after you walked back your apology last week?
He looks like a good football player. Yeah, you know.
Just keep doing it. Keep being fine. Great.
Yeah, keep it up.
Keep proving
it. Keep it up, Kyler. No days off.
No days off.
Yeah. So Matt responded at the APC pod. 10% voted for Rodgers. Seriously, I love the Packers, but 10% of the fan base is clearly off its rockers. I think we need to spend some time talking
seems
about
low.
The fan base.
Seems low.
Yeah, it does seem low. I want to, my tone is going to be better because I'm not going to get so angry like we did last week where I ended up stepping all over Mina Kimes, which I felt I was cringing listening back to. But I even listened to her talk post Seahawks win on ESPN radio about this very thing, about this weird anti-Rodgers movement on Twitter. So I don't even know where to go with this. I just like, because I pretty much said all of this last week before this. I think it's just a little bit silly. Like, it's just easy to grab a screen grab of Aaron Jones wide open and say, like, that is where Aaron Rodgers let us down.
Yeah.
And to overlook
or
a couple of
pass.
And the throw that he took, you know, accountability for post game, and he said the ball stuck to his hand on 3rd-and-2 to MVS, and he just, like, you know, it was a bad throw. It should have been a first down. Should he have gotten another opportunity to convert it? 100%. But I think it's so strange now, like, that we're, I just think we're bad at adversity Twitter, the way the Packers, like, sometimes are bad, and Mike McCarthy's
they really
got
to focus on their fundamentals,
at
man.
Adversity football, and, like, we're scrambling here, and it's just our version of, like, trying to, I don't know what, advance a conversation?
Yeah.
Like, what are we trying to do by blaming him? Like, we're ignoring the fact that he's almost, again, 35. He's probably still not 100% healthy. You mentioned the third downs, and I didn't go back and watch it. I wonder how many, if any of those, he would have pulled off some crazy stuff where he avoids a sack and then ends up scrambling or finding somebody.
He also pulled
the play.
Off plenty of crazy stuff in that game, including the Davante Adams deep ball that was ultimately ruled incomplete.
Yeah.
But, you know, he made an amazing throw down the sideline, like a 70-yard or something.
Does it just go back to us being spoiled? Like, is that
yes.
always the answer?
Yes.
Because, like, we could pick out two plays in
yeah.
the game that he should have and could have done better.
But I think you could say this about any, it's just fans in general. I mean, like, a lot of sports talk is, it's very reductive. It's very black and white, this and that. Let's distill it down into these, like, two players, which one is better, which one is greater, that sort of thing. And everyone's just sort of like racing to the top of Take Mountain to hold up their one singular thing that they think is the reason, and they want to be the first to get it on record in the case of Twitter, and it just, I don't know, leads to bad takes all around.
There are smart people who are questioning, you know,
totally.
As there always
totally.
Are, there are smart people who are questioning how well Aaron Rodgers is playing. Does he get a pass? Does he have to try to do too much, et cetera, et cetera? And I think that's like a totally valid thing. But to hold up that game as an example of why Aaron Rodgers like doesn't have it anymore, why the extension was a mistake, et cetera, et cetera, I think that's like, maybe it's ahead of the curve, and in a year we'll come back and, you know, say sorry, Kyler Fackrell, but I sort of doubt it. I think more it seems like an overreaction and something to be frustrated about and something for people to, you know, I don't think Packers fans are used to having to give up on a season halfway through and, you know, how they've kind of passed that time. You know, I don't think Packers fans know how to look forward to something changing because very little did change over so many years. So what?
Something you just said also jogged my memory of something that I wanted to say on air, which is that I don't know how this fan base can can be subjected to watching Brett Hundley for most of last year and then watch the Packers this year and then tweet about how Aaron Rodgers is the problem. Just like,
I mean,
I want to say something else just real quick. I don't know if any of you guys heard it, but like nobody's really mentioned the fact that Rodgers is from Chico, California, which basically just burned down, like not the whole city of Chico, but like real close to it. Like I'm sure Rodgers.
I was thinking
he's
about
affected
that.
By that in some way. And I know that he's not Brett Favre, and I know he's not going to go on a primetime game and, like, you know, draw all the attention in the world. But I'm like, it's hard to imagine that that doesn't affect him at least some way.
I was thinking about that because, like, all the news reports when they're talking about Paradise, like, the reporter is actually in Chico, California.
Yeah, they're all in Chico.
And I'm, like, for someone who's so, I don't know, willing to talk about things that aren't football,
mm-hmm.
I was really surprised, unless we somehow all missed this, but I really doubt we
did. I don't
did.
Think anybody there mentioned it on like any of the newscasts.
Any,
like, there was
like,
no
public statement from Rod, or just like someone asking him, like, you know,
yeah,
is your family's home okay? Like, is everyone okay? Are you, you know, is this affecting you in some way? I was pretty surprised, although I guess he hasn't been made available. But even by the time, you know, he was available last week to the media, I think
the fires would have been a thing.
It would have already happened.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe his media availability this week.
He made comments and wore, like, the firefighter's hat and talked about, like, the effort to quell the fire. But certainly nobody asked him about his
personal
family.
Personal impact.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's probably a fairly strict no family questions rule in the Packers media room.
That might get you thrown out, especially when tension is as high as it is. Yeah. Right now,
Is this because your brother?
No, I wonder though. Like, I guess to further defend Rodgers, something that we talked about really early in this season, and it may be really stupid to apply like my own sensibilities to Aaron Rodgers or like what I feel like some other people may act like. But like, if you're at your job and you just like pretty much have lost all respect for your boss. Does it impact you at all? Like, I mean, seriously, you know, like when you know you're smarter than your boss and you know that, you know, you want to be led in a way that you see other people being led, but you're not. So you kind of just show up and perform and do your thing. Like that. I really wonder if that has to be some of it because.
Or if you're reasonably sure your boss is not going to be your boss next year.
Like you kind of nail it in.
The only time I wondered that was at on the 3rd and 2 or 4th and 2. Cause like he just kind of walked off the field and I was like, really?
I was shocked he didn't.
This is bad. You probably think this is a bad idea. Like, I don't understand who and why. Why do you guys all seem so blasé about this?
Yeah. Even Tremont after the game, though, I think it was Tremont, basically was like, I didn't understand that at all. You want the ball in 12's hands.
Right. This is a
veteran
leader,
but Rodgers just kind of walked off the field. Like, he didn't look like he was going to fight. He didn't. I mean, like,
but
wasn't.
But then there's other moments like, I mean, yeah, he likes when things go well, obviously, as they all do. But like the celebration of the pass to Tonyan, for example, like he's clearly pumped up.
I think for a lot of that game he was pumped up, but at the end I don't know what it was. It just kind of seemed like the body, and I don't want to get into like the body language analysis, but it was just kind of like I was a little shocked that he was so casually walking off the field in this kind of a situation that I was not casually watching from the couch at home, much less like in it.
Right. Yeah. I almost wonder if he's just kind of accepted like that this year is probably just going to end up being, when we look back at it, a transitional year, the year that got McCarthy out and, you know, ushered in whoever is hopefully going to get the best out of him in the remaining, I don't know.
Well, he took a little, little umbrage recently with Rob Domofsky kind of poking him in a post game saying like, you know, do you feel like there's no hope, et cetera?
What kind of question is that, Rob?
Come on, Rob. Come on, Alex.
Probably a fair question.
Rob's paid to ask that question.
Yeah, somebody has to ask that.
Yeah.
And then is that when he went on to talk about the galvanizing moment, or was that before the Seahawks game? Now I'm confused.
I think it was
because
if he talked
about it after that question, then he gave a great answer.
Yeah.
So,
no, he's more than once talked about it. So I think it's both before and after.
I think Randall Cobb talked about it too. Just he had something about it feeling different.
Well, he talked about it feeling different. What Rodgers was saying, you know, when people are trying to like goat him into a relaxed moment, he's like, that's got to be an authentic, off the cuff thing.
I think everybody is kind of on team. This feels different.
Yeah,
and I haven't seen anybody like really like.
Yeah.
Fighting that tide all too enthusiastically.
Is anyone on team season is officially over?
I mean, it's not,
somehow weirdly not.
It's not officially over, but it's not that they don't look like a team that has much of a chance when or if they make the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't want to be too hopeful. One thing everyone is pointing to is that they're 4-5-1, and that when they won the Super Bowl, they were 4-6 at this point.
And but the Bears won the division that year.
And the Bears did win the division that year. That was also a season that they never trailed
but
by
they
more
had
than
players,
one score, that they were clearly really good and just losing close games. Yeah. They are losing close games.
I think that's partially the case this year, but I think also, I mean, there was that season, there were so many kind of stories of players taking second and third year leaps and kind of being on the right side of the development curve. And I mean, I think there are, like, you know, there's good young talent, and it'll get better as the season goes on, but it's already been overperforming by a lot of metrics, and I don't really see a way that this team, you know, who could contribute more. That's the frustrating part of this team, is that they're somehow so much less than the sum of their parts this season.
Yeah, I agree. All right, well, I guess we'll see if they get that galvanizing moment with a road win at Minnesota, a very, very difficult place to...
Who looked a lot more beatable after Sunday Night Football than they did a little bit earlier in the year, I would say.
I definitely didn't think we would get to the point where the Bears seemed like the most legitimate team. But I think we are there.
Ben Fennell
did.
We may not be able to bury the Packers season just yet, but I think we could probably say that the Bears are a playoff team.
Yeah.
That's a safe bet.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, speaking of the Vikings who fell to those Bears, we are going to talk to Arif Hassan later this week. Stay tuned for that. He covers them for The Athletic. He joined us earlier on in this season to preview the first matchup that ended up in a very unsatisfying tie. But we'll talk to him again later this week, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, Zach, do we have an APC podcast pick'em update?
We sure do.
Because you definitely don't want a APC fantasy update from the rivalry that will be decided soon.
Tonight, presumably.
As we record this tonight by Greg the Leg.
Subtweeting me. Okay, let's get an update. The APC podcast listener pick'em league, Nick Varley, still running away with it in first place. He's up over 1,000 points now, but just behind him, narrowing the gap, Kyle Clifton. Last week he called me out because I said that Nick Varley was really running away with it and no one would catch him. And Kyle Clifton rightly pointed out that he was closer than I advertised. So Kyle and Nick are neck and neck. Lauren Summer, Ben, you and I, our old buddy from Milwaukee, is in third place, and I am in fourth place. I'm going to stop calling myself a moron in a self-deprecating way because, hey, I've been doing pretty well this year. Sean Wagner, fellow APCer, is behind, and the list goes on from there. Victor from Brazil also is in a tie for sixth place. So that is the update.
There you go.
Way to go, guys.
Victor is the reigning champ, if I'm not mistaken.
He is indeed.
And his brother was in second.
Mateus, yeah.
Going for back-to-back.
Yep.
Can he close the gap? Plenty of football left. All right, stay tuned. Like I said, later this week, we'll talk more Packers-Vikings with Arif Hassan. In the meantime, if you haven't left us a review or subscribed to the show, but you're listening, please do on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, and follow the show on Twitter at the APC Pod. Thanks a lot.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seemed Smart. It Seemed Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seemed smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.